you're happy and you know it, give me a dollar.
Won't be happy very long if you're happy and you're broke. I tell you one thing, if you couldn't be happy and broke,
something wrong.
You're a woman. Can't be happy and broke, you're a woman.
Yeah. I tell you one thing. My goodness. I would just be broke.
Yeah. I would just be happy.
Yeah. Old boy up there in the mountains, he's worth about $80 million. I told you before, everybody might not have heard it. He used to be a tree surgeon down in Tampa, Florida. He said, you know what me and my wife used to fight about? He said, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. He said, we would fight about money. He said, now we got more money than we'll ever spend in 10 lifetimes. He said, you know what we argue about? I said, what? He said, money. Worth $80 million. He said, we still sit around and argue about money. And I went, well, you ought to quit blowing our money. You don't need 27 more guns tomorrow. That's right.
He's going to fight the Air Force.
Huh?
He's going to fight the Air
Force. He's going to fight the Air Force and then move to New Zealand. Sound like a plan. Let's go back to Ezekiel, please. But let's go to Ezekiel 16 and we'll just look at something. I think it ties in, it connects. We're talking about looking at some things that God's done. I don't have time to cover heart surgery, much less all the details that goes along with it. So I trust that you'll take time, if you would, to just dig into it a little bit deeper and study to show yourself approved and search the scriptures. And like what old Brother Church said a while ago, it's always good. I enjoy the fellowship either here or in that trailer over there, but he said he very rarely can pick up that Bible and read it and it doesn't bless him. And I say, amen. That's a living book. But church, how about taking a minute here and telling them some of that stuff about that heart that she was talking about a while ago, that man of God cleaning out. Just over that soft heart, that tender heart.
Oh, Josiah?
Yes, sir.
He was just a little boy when he took the throne, and he became a teenager as he took the reins, and they were coming to his heart. Start fixing the house of God. So they started fixing the house of God. In the process, they found a book. And they run and they told the king, said, we found the book of the Lord in the house of God. And when they started reading it, told about all the judgment of God that God was going to put on the place because they turned their backs on God. And they were in such awful condition that they had a woman for a prophetess at the time. And when Josiah heard it, the Bible said that he rent his clothes and began to weep and to fast. And he said, that prophet said, go tell the man who sent you to me because thine heart was tender when you heard the word of God and
amen.
You wept and you fast. He said, I'm not going to bring this judgment in your day.
Amen.
I'm going to wait till it's all you're going to go to your grave in peace and the judgment of God to come on your next generation. I just thought, buddy, it all depends on how your heart is when you hear the word of God.
Boy, oh boy. Break up that pile of gravel. We need to have our hearts prepared. I mean, them liquor trucks was running at 5 o'clock in the morning. We were to be up there getting our hearts ready at 5. I just think that we're to get up and spend some time breaking up that fallow ground.
That's right.
That's right. Believe in that stuff, man. What did you do to prepare for service today? I didn't get nothing today. What did you bring? What was in your basket when you got here? Mm. That's exactly right, friend. That's why we get what we get and don't get what we don't. Because what we bring in that basket. We didn't even bring a basket sometimes. No wonder you didn't get nothing. You didn't bring your basket. And that's biblical. That's scriptural. I'm telling you, boy, we need to prepare ourselves. Amen. I like it. Boy, he said over there in one place over our brother church, when they read the book of the law, then people would stand up. They would stand over there for hours and hours and listen to them as they read that law. It's amazing, man. Just amazing. People would sit over there and just weep and sitting in sackcloth and ashes, and they'd rend their garments and, man, try to repent. It's amazing. It's amazing. God's a good God. Ezekiel says this, and I think this will tie in to carry on the thought. I just maybe broke it up. I believe this, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that God was going to hold us accountable for the light that's been given to us. And I don't believe he's going to give us any more light until we deal with the light that he's already given. I know people today in their homes is just, and I'm not being critical, it just breaks my heart to think about it. I know people today, and I have people to call me. I have certain people to call me on a regular basis and tell me what a sham. I ain't talking about people in here. I'm talking about people that's out of here. I got people that calls me on a regular basis and tells me what a shamble their marriage is in. And they're telling me, you know, things about their spouse. And then all along, I'm sitting there listening, and I'm thinking, yeah, but where's your life with God? Where's your relationship? Because I know this, I know that God has shined some light into their life and they have not obeyed that light. They've not dealt properly with that light. And then they wonder why their home is in the mess that it's in. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God is not going to give you any more light until you properly deal with the light he's already given. And I want to look at that guy and say, listen, if you would get in the house of God and be faithful, that would be a tremendous start. But he thinks for some reason that the true church is meeting underground today. They're not even in a building somewhere. And I'm like, maybe one of these days, but not right now. God's still allowing us to sit out here with liberty and freedom on the side of the road and preach the unsearchable riches of glory and the whole counsel of God. And I mean, you know, it may come to the day where we're in concentration camps or hiding out in caves and having to share the gospel. Maybe, but not right now. Not right now. So I said that because a lot of times I carry thoughts over because, you know, have we even dealt with what we've already got? And, you know, so I don't know if God will give us anything else until we do. Then he said, Ezekiel 16:1 says this, again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And the last time we looked at this, we looked at Ezekiel 37. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou was born, thy navel was not cut. Neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou was cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou was born. And Jesus said, when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Now listen, this is a beautiful, beautiful picture of God doing heart surgery on a lost person. Yeah. This is a beautiful picture of God finding those that are lost without God out in this world, headed to hell. That's exactly where God found us, ladies. Everybody that's ever been saved, God found you in this picture. I want you to get the gist of this. Now listen, This is a baby that a woman has had. And most of you already know. But it's amazing that we can sit in church our whole life and hear things and never really hear it. I have children myself, and every once in a while, I want to call me up and go, "Dad, you wouldn't believe what I heard a preacher say." And I'm like, "Well, that's great. I'm glad you heard him, because I said that for 16 years of your life and you never heard me say that." It's amazing. But I'm glad they finally heard it. They raised in my home, sitting under our preaching, and I said that stuff all their life, and they never even heard it. Am I lying? I mean, it's amazing. Zach gets some of the same comments. Zach's like, "Dad said that all your life. What are you talking about? Dad said that 100,000 times when you was in the house. What are you talking about?" Here's a baby, and it has just been born, and its mama didn't want it. So she took her baby and went out into an open field and took that baby and threw it out in that open field. She didn't wash it. The afterbirth is still there. The umbilical cord is still hanging on this baby. It was uncut. The umbilical cord was still there. The afterbirth was still there. What does that mean? That means that every wild beast within a certain amount of miles could smell that blood on that baby, only so that they could find that baby. And you think about that baby out there in the scorching sun in this land. That scorching sun in the daytime just being burned up underneath the heat of the day. And then at night how the temperatures would drop and it would be out there in the freezing cold. And all the wild beasts of the field able to smell that blood. And boy, the Bible talks about them beasts and them devils and how they gape upon Jesus with their mouth. And man, I'm telling you, them same devils just took their bite out of me. Try it. And here's this little baby laying out in the field. Nobody's washed it. Nobody's took a pair of scissors and cut that cord. Nobody's put any clothes on it. It's laying out there naked and bare. Nobody took and swaddled this baby. Nobody put any salt on this baby to nurse this baby. They took their baby and threw it out there in the field for whatever to happen. She didn't care. Didn't give a flip. I mean, this is a newborn baby. Boy, we've heard all the stories, dear God, of how stuff like that's happened still to this day. I heard a preacher say that verse 4 in Ezekiel 16, that baby was uncut. And that baby was unclean. And that baby was uncared for. And that baby was unclothed. And boy, he preached a good message on Ezekiel 16. Can I be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen? This is exactly where I was when God found me. Miss Stephanie, I was so hooked up. I was uncut. I was so connected to sin. I was so connected to this world. I was so connected to this stinking old flesh. I'm telling you, man, that it was a filthy mess in my life. That's where God found me, hooked up to this old world. God had to cut me loose. Man. Thank God he cut me loose. Hallelujah. He was unclean. That's where I was. I was unclean. I mean, wallowing in the pits of sin. You hear me? That prodigal son didn't have nothing on me. Talking about wallowed in a pig pen. I wallowed in the pig pen. Unclean. I was uncared for. Thank God I had a good mama that cared. But I tell you, most people just didn't care. Most people just didn't care. And that's where we're at today. Don't nobody really care about us. Nobody much care about your soul. David said the same thing. He said, "No man cared for my soul." That's where I was. And he was unclothed. Clothed in his own righteousness, which was filthy rags in the sight of God. Naked. Same place that Adam and Eve found themselves over in the Garden of Eden. Naked before a holy God. Sin had done took place in their life. Ladies and gentlemen, it left them naked. It's exactly where I was. I was uncut. I was unclean, uncared for, and unclothed. I had such a stench of sin in my life from wallowing in the pits of sin. And I've often thought, if we could smell sin in this little old congregation that we have, if we could smell sin, we would have to tear the walls out and knock the roof off of this place just to be able to stand the smell that was in here just for the handful of people that we have. I cannot imagine where you get 100 people together, the stench of sin that must come out of that place in the nostrils of a holy God. I mean, think about it. We ain't but a handful of people. Man, the stuff that's in our heart, the stuff that crosses our mind, we meditate and think upon and chew on it, digest it on a daily basis. Boy, if we could smell that junk, it would make us all puke. God can smell it. God can smell that nasty stench of sin rise up before Him. That's why I think worship is so vitally important. That's why I think praise and honor is so vitally. That's why I think it's so important to glorify Him, because it's a sweet smell in the nostrils of God. I mean, that real worship in spirit and in truth is something that God is pleased with. It's something that smells sweet to Him in husbands and wives. That starts in the home. That starts in the home. What is love making between a husband and a wife? It's worship. That's all. It's a type. It's a picture of worship. God gave you that to be taken up of one another, to be engulfed in one another. And the same thing, ladies and gentlemen, to the pure, all things are pure. You can't talk about this kind of stuff in a TV-infested, internet-infested, telephone-infested world anymore, because our minds are so warped and so twisted. I'm not trying to dictate people's love life, but I'm just trying to say God gave us a love life, and it's a picture of worship toward Him. We're to be taken up of one another. Oh, I don't, bless God, you need to get right. God, give. That's the beauty of a marriage. That's the beauty of my relationship with Him. To make love with Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. To smooch with Christ. It's a wonderful thing. It's not a bad thing to let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. His love really is better than wine. I've had wine, and His love is better than wine. That intimacy is not there in that home. That intimacy is not there usually in that worship. That relationship with Jesus Christ, it's missing. What's missing? God, worship is missing, ladies and gentlemen. Didn't even intend on saying it, but I'm trying to follow God. Yeah. When's the last time you were just taken up of Him? When's the last time you were overtaken by Him? When's the last time you just lost yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you lost all sense of time and you didn't even give a flip? I mean, man, I'm just being taken up a hill. I mean, boy, just laying over in the lap of Jesus Christ like old John the Beloved. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, just to lay over on Jesus. I walk in there with your alabaster box and to kneel at His feet and just give Him your all and to be taken up a hill. And nothing else in this world matters. I'm telling you, it's life changing. It changes your life. I know people think I'm crazy, but I don't give a flip. I'm way past that. God's done things in my life through worship. I don't care what nobody likes and don't like about it. God's paid my light bill through worship. Amen. I've sat there and worshiped Him before, and I didn't worship Him to pay my bills. There's been times, Brother Church, where I couldn't pay my bills. Hey, you say, man, that's crazy. Is it crazy? Well, let's talk about David for a while, the man after God's own heart. His own son Absalom come up against him. They sat down there and run him out of his kingdom. He didn't even have time to put his stinking shoes on. He headed outside, started climbing that mountain, and because he was barefooted, he was slipping and sliding up that mountain. The Bible said that his feet were bloody, his knees where he would fall. The Bible said he got a little past the top of the hill, and he worshiped God. Wasn't the best circumstances, was it? I mean, some pretty rough. Let your kid come against you. Let your kid try to kill you. That's right. He's going to kill his daddy and take over that kingdom. Let your son come up against you like that and come back and tell me how good worship is. That's what old Dave did. He sat up there and worshiped God. And here come one with a bunch of donkeys. Let me see. He come up there with a bunch of asses and some cakes or some wine and some raisins. And what's this? He said, well, the ashes are for the king's household to ride on. Woo! I'm going to preach a message on get on your ass and ride. Hey, man, get on that thing. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, when the enemy comes against you, praise God, God will give you an ass to ride on. I'm telling you, friend, that joy, that wine, he said, that's for y'all when y'all get a little weary. You get some of that wine, it'll get you a little spring back in your step. It'll help you, king. I'm telling you, David worshiped God, and God met every need that he had.
Yes, he did.
Physically? And spiritually. He said, you can eat them cakes and that's going to help you sustain you. Well, David just got done worshiping. Man, God will take care of your physical needs through worship.
Man,
no doubt your spiritual needs. Right. Praise God, that's good.
Yeah, it is.
So last time you was taking up a hymn, I don't want to hear your problems, because here's what the problem is. Worship will dissipate your problems. Worship will make your problems go away. Preach, I got a problem. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what it is. You won't worship him. Amen. If you'll get to worshiping him, you'll say, preacher, I got this kind of problem. Man, I tell you, I can't even focus on my problems no more. God's got so big that my problems is just going away. I'm telling you, boy, God will get good on you. Amen. Good. Fill your joy tank up. Hallelujah. Man, you'll have snot and slobber and boogers everywhere. Praise God, it's so good. And you won't even care. Hey, man, when's the last time you threw a line of snot out in your lap and you said, praise God, you didn't even care because God was there. It was just good, man. You was just overtaken with Him. Just overtaken with Him. When's the last time? You don't have to tell me, because we're deader than nine hells in here. It's been a long time. We've been a long time since we met with him in the secret place.
You ain't fooling me. I've known it for a long time. Because when you do that in private, God said, I'll reward you in public.
I'll take you down there in front of God and everybody at the church house, and I'll pull myself out on you. Why? Because you did it down there in the secret place. I'll tell you why it ain't happening around the public place. It ain't happening at home.
Amen.
It's the last time you've been taking up a worship. Ah, man, I ain't got time. You got time to go to hell, I can promise you that. You got time, bless God, to eat. How come we got time to eat, we ain't got time for Jesus? It'd do us good to push away from that table, especially, bless God, some of the portions we eat. It'd be good to push away from that table and just pray a while.
Amen.
Man. God wants to meet with us, ladies and gentlemen, and he deserves to meet with us, and we couldn't care less 9 times out of 10. We couldn't care less about meeting with him. Man, give me something to eat. I need my paycheck. I got to go to work. Lord, I got a bill due. I got to do this, and I got to do that. God's somewhere back there in the corners going, well, I'd sure like to meet with y'all today. Sure like to meet with y'all today. And I tell you, when them youngest start acting stupid, where's God? Man, I need you to pray for me, preacher. No, your sorry hiney should have been praying, bless God, a long time ago. That's right. I'll pray for you. Sure I will. But you should have been praying a long time ago. How would you like to be Elijah? Huh? Go over and stand up in front of 400 false preachers, you know. I mean, we got them all over us today. We ain't got enough men of God in this country to go over and make them look stupid. They're stupid. We just ain't got enough power of God about us anymore to show what they ain't got.
Right.
That man went over there. You think he had to ask, hey, time out. Let me run over here and talk to my pastor. Pastor, I got to go over here and deal with these false prophets. Would you pray? No, son, he went over there. He didn't have to break a sweat. God said, fill them barrels up. Fill them 4 barrels up. Won't you do it 3 times and pour it on that altar? I'm telling you, God sent that fire down for him. How many words was it? 67 words, 37 something, very few words. He didn't have to pray long. What about a minute long? He didn't have to pray long for God to show up. Wouldn't that be something if we could pray a little simple prayer like that? And God said, I'm going to tell you what, you can if you'll do it all the time.
Amen.
If you'll spend time in there at His feet, I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, God wants to show up. He sure does. He wants to show up. When's the last time you were taking up a hymn? Brother Church, I know I say the same things over and over, but you have to.
Man.
It's okay. Church, if he ever shows up, that 3 hours will seem like 15 minutes. When he don't show up, 15 minutes seems like 3 hours. When God ain't in that thing, you can get in there and pray. And I'm telling you, it's like pulling teeth. Boy, sometimes you get in that prayer closet. And listen to me, I know. I know. Sometimes you get in that prayer closet, it's like pulling teeth because God ain't nowhere around. You have done something. You've done grieved him. And you ain't been faithful. And God's going, boy, I tell you what, you let that saint of God get in there that's faithful. And there may be odd times where he goes through different things, but I'll tell you one thing. When he's in need of God, I promise you, God will show up in that place before he even gets there.
That's right.
I hear men give testimonies. I talk to brethren. I talk to preachers. And man, they're faithful in their prayer closet. And they tell me stuff that happens before they even get going real good. Thank God to show up. And I'm telling you, when God shows up, ladies and gentlemen, it seems like you can spend 3 hours in there with him, and it seems like you've been in there for 15, and you can't believe. You come out of there, and you can't believe it's 8 o'clock because it was 5 when you went in. And there's no way I've been in there for 3 hours. No, that's just God. You know, they say time flies when you're having fun. And that's the truth. It's the truth. That's why church is so long for people. Hey man, that's why sometimes church seems so long. We ain't having fun. Well, church is a glad day when God opened my blind eyes out there in that field. I was laying out there in that field, undesirable, unloved, uncared for, unclothed, unclean, uncut, all them undones. I mean, I was out there. And I'm telling you, I was laying out there in that field to the loathing, the just undesirable, to the loathing of my person. And God opened my blinded eyes and let me see that I was a mess laying out there in that world of sin. Boy, happy day, thank God, when he changed my life and put a new heart in me. Amen. You're talking about a great God that can do some great things. That's our God. Who else do you know that can take that baby up out of that field? Who else do you know? Ladies and gentlemen, you understand. He's looking over there at Israel going, hey, Israel, y'all were that baby laying out there in that field. Didn't nobody want you? Bunch of little old Hebrews. Didn't nobody want y'all? I mean, everybody thought y'all was a reproach. Everybody thought y'all were to be slaves. And there you was, thrown out there for death and destruction. I mean, nobody cared for you. You was uncared for. You was uncut. You was unclean. And Jesus said, God said, I came along one day and spoke life into you. I loved you. I cared for you. I clothed you. I did all these things for you. And they wouldn't spit on God if he was on fire. There's times in their life where God tried to do things in their life and they hardened their heart and stiffened their neck. And they wouldn't have spit on God if he was on fire. They didn't think that much of him. Brother Church, you know, when I was a young man, folks would look at me and say some crazy things. I can remember some of the comments and they wasn't wrong. I don't hold it against them. But I can remember some of the comments, mama, people say, that boy's going to end up in prison. I can remember people saying, that boy won't never amount to nothing. That boy right there, I'm telling you, he's headed for heartaches. And if I could get them all, if I could get them all in a group today, set them up in this congregation and say, man, you can say anything you want to say. I say, oh, ye of little faith. Amen. Oh, ye of little faith. See, here's what you forgot. That there was a God in heaven that cared for me. Hey, there's a God in heaven that loved me. Hey, man, you forgot about God. You should have said he ain't gonna run to a hill of beans. But God, he'll be in prison. But God, he ain't never gonna run to nothing. But God, God showed up. They forgot about him. He messed up their little prophecies. He messed up their plans. He messed up their ideas. I'm thinking, mama, he took one of the most unlikely ones out of the whole entire bunch.
judge. I'm the one that they thought would never amount to nothing. The one that had an old drunkard daddy. Instead, I'm going to call him to preach because I chose preaching to save them which believe. Make a preacher out of that little boy. Amen. I'm going to make a preacher out of that little sucker, mean as a striped tail snake. I'm going to make a preacher out of him that's uncut and unclean, uncared for, unloved, unwanted. I'm going to make a preacher out of him because I desire him. God wants you today. Not a person in this congregation that God doesn't desire a relationship. God loves sinners. God loves people. He sent His Son to die for the sins of the world. It's not His will that any of us perish. God longs to have a relationship with us today. God showed up, picked me up out of that field, and said, "Live." Amen. Jesus passed by and said, "Live." Ain't that a blessing? Well, it is to me. They just wasn't counting on God showing up. You know why I believe? Because God hadn't showed up in their life. Amen. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, it's hard, hard, hard. Eric, it's hard, friend. I can look at people in the worst of shape today and say, boy, it would be amazing what God can do in that life. I do. I look at people that's all messed up, man. I just think what God could do. They said, "Brother Sandy, why do you mess with old Silas? He's crazy. He ain't never going to mount to a hill of beans." Them youngest of Silas is getting saved here 20 years later. Brother Sammy's put up with him for 20 years. Brother Sammy looked at me one day. He said, "Brother Silas," he said, "Silas's children are getting saved." He said, "Dave, that's why I put up with him." Oh, thank God for a man that was laying out there in that field to the loathing of his person. And God brought him to a place of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And now, boy, I'm telling you, because God put a new heart in people, we can look at other people and go, man, what God can do. I don't count God out. I don't forget about God. You take the vilest and the worst of sinners. I'm telling you, God can change that life. Make it something to glorify Him. I'm telling you, the devil's all about destroying lives. He's all about destroying homes. He's all about destroying our children. But thank God for God, friend, that'll take them out of that mess that they're in and make something out of their life. Amen. Right, God'll do that. I look at some of these people that's got these wretched, miserable, miserable lives, and I think, boy, what a testimony before God. Oh, I'm telling you, I've seen God do some mighty things. I've seen Him take streetwalkers. I've seen Him take junkies. I've seen Him take drunks. And thank God, set them up and call them to preach and put them in the church and make them singers. I mean, use them for His glory. Amen. Wonderful things, man. Amen. Say why? Because God cares. He really cares. I mean, He's just more than words for Jesus Christ. Sometimes we say it and it's just words. But not Him. When He said, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you," buddy, you mark it down, He cares for you.
Yes, He does.
And nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Nobody. Man. Let me say this. Folks, we are not ever be so self-righteous that we can't help others.
Amen.
We should never be that self-righteous. Now, this is what I mean by that, because we done talked about self-righteousness a tidbit. But that means that most folks can't even be honest about themselves without the self-righteous crowd making their piss poor, pitiful judgments. Did you hear what she said? Did you hear what he did? I can't believe he was doing that. I like this one right here, Michael. Well, I've been sorry, but I ain't never been that sorry. Oh, I know. Yeah, you drew the line on your sorryness right there. Sorry. I've been pretty sorry, but I ain't never been. Let me tell you something. There's no level of sorryness that I wouldn't stoop outside the grace of God. Ain't nobody in this world ever been any sorrier than me. I got news for you. Nobody in this world ever been any sorrier than you. But you can let people today, and I believe revival will come from honesty. If we do have a revival, and I believe we could have a revival if people would just be honest. But I believe that revival comes out of an honest heart. I believe people can stand up and, man, they start confessing and coming clean and being honest and telling the truth about themselves and where they're in and what they've done and the old in their heart and the bitterness and the hate and all that kind of. God is pleased with that honesty. And you'll have a bunch of self-righteous people sitting around, bless God, going, I can't believe her. Bam! There went revival. Bam! There went the move of God. God was trying to move. And I've seen preachers so stupid that they get nervous when people start telling the truth about themselves. So-and-so, y'all get up here and sing. Hey, sit down, bless God. We don't need no singing. Maybe somebody else needs to confess.
Amen.
Isn't time to sing. That woman's trying to get right with so-and-so and so-and-so and trying to pour her heart out. Let's go sing a song. My God, maybe so-and-so needs to get right now.
Amen.
My God, man, I'm telling you, God loves that honesty. Confession, he likes it. But it's hard today in our society, the way we think and the way we are and our self-righteous attitudes. My God, man, you start telling the truth about yourself and people will start judging you so fast it'll make your head swim.
Right.
God help us not to get there. Yeah. God, if we're there, God help us to get away from there. Right. Somebody ought to be able to tell the truth. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to emphasize this. I ain't come to make you mad today. But who's any sorrier than you? Who's any sorrier than self? Nobody's any sorrier than you. Nobody in this world's any sorrier than me. I don't care what your confession is in here today. I guarantee I could top it. As far as I'm concerned, I have no right to say anything about your confession. I can't believe. Would you believe one of the greatest men of God I know made one of the greatest confessions I ever heard? I'm talking about Brother Don Green. He sitting down there at Faith Baptist Camp and they pray 24 hours a day down there back in the day. Now they show up with their golf clubs. And that's back when Don Green and them was there. Now that's a whole different generation and they all live like hell and stand up and shout. And get you to pray a little prayer and repeat something after them and go through some little old stupid junk and claim Jesus and go back and live like the devil. Would you believe, Michael, one of the first times I ever had an opportunity to lose my virginity was a girl took me out in the back at a camp meeting, scared me to death. I said, young, scared me to death. I knew what she wanted. I knew I didn't want no part of it. But her mama was up there playing the piano. So spiritual. Boy, we need God.
Yeah.
We just need God. They prayed 24 hours down there. And what I mean by that is this preacher would pray for an hour and then this preacher would come in and take his place and pray for an hour or two or three. And then this preacher would come in and pray for an hour or two or three, whatever their schedule was. If they had 24 preachers, they would take an hour apiece. Hey, Michael, Brother Don Green was 15 minutes late one morning to the prayer closet, to the prayer room. 15 minutes late. And he said he grieved God so bad by being 15 minutes late to the prayer room for his hour of prayer. He said, the devils of hell got all over me. And started telling me how I've ruined this meeting. I'm talking about Don Green. Prays about 8 to 10 hours a day according to his testimony. Man of God, great man of God. Said that the devils of hell got to just pound him how he's destroyed the meeting with a sloth and not showing up and how awful and how he ought to be. And he said he got so down on himself for being 15 minutes late. He said he went to go home. He was in the airport. He said he went over there and bought one of them Girly magazines in the airport. Don Green bought a Girly magazine. We wouldn't confess that for $1 billion. That man of God stood up down there in front of that whole 2,000 crowd of people and said, I bought a Girly magazine. He said, I went over and I sat down. He said, I started looking at that thing. He said, and the Holy Ghost smote my heart and said, what are you doing? And he said, it dawned on me. He said, man, I began to look around and thought, oh my God, somebody in here might see me and know me. And he said, the Holy Ghost just began to deal with me on where I was at and what I had done. He said, man, I got up and threw that thing away and went and found me a place somewhere to get my heart in tune with God. And I thought, man, how many people can hear a confession like that and go, oh, he's a pervert. Which one of us, bless God Almighty, ain't got some wickedness in our heart? Which one of us couldn't tell the truth and say that we don't have some perversions about it? Which one of us can't say we got some wicked desires? Which one of us can't say that the devils of hell have danced around us before and defeated us and discouraged us and talked us into judgment that otherwise we would never do?
Preacher, I would never do that. I know, bless God, that you'd run your mouth about somebody so fast it'd make your head swim. You'd run your mouth about somebody that did so fast it'd make your head swim, and for that you're wicked as hell.
Derek, tell you one thing. Everybody's had some stupid thoughts. We're human beings. Thoughts cross our mind. Sometimes you cannot even come close to controlling them things that cross your mind. You don't have to sit and dwell on it. You don't have to meditate on it. But you can't stop them from crossing your mind. God help us.
Amen.
I'm telling you, folks, we were to be able to come clean. We were to be able to stand up in a place that we call the church and just come clean when God stirs in our heart. And it will be a place where other people's not looking and going, I can't believe. We're self-righteousness. We need to leave that off. Let me say this. We should never be so self-righteous that we can't help others.
Amen.
Restore such a one. Restore somebody like that. Let me read this to you, church. If you will, if you want to. If you don't. But defeat Ecclesiastes 4. Let's flip over to Ecclesiastes 4. Let me show you something interesting right there. Verse 9, we'll go down to verse 12. Just listen to what the Bible says. Talking about helping each other. Two are better than one. Husbands, wives, that's talking to y'all. Two's better than one. And it's talking to the church. It's talking to the brethren. It's talking to each other. But I tell you, I start right there at the home. I start with husbands and wives. I do.
Man.
Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, listen, if one of them falls, the one will lift up his fellow. I got a problem. Can you believe what they... Oh man, let's help them. What can we do to help? Well, there's nothing I can really do to help. I tell you what I can do. I can pray. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. Well, we need each other. We need each other. For he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. That's why I said this is back down at the home. God, you'll not be laying on nobody else. But how can one be warm alone? Well, I told my wife, I said, baby, if you get warm, just come over here and get close to me. I mean, if you get cold, come over here and get close to me. I said it right to start with, didn't I? Pretty cold, ain't it? Verse 12 says, and if one prevail against him, what's this? Two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let me tell you something to you. If the devil comes up against somebody in this congregation, there will be two or three people standing by their side to help them.
Yeah.
Somebody gets tripped up around here, I'm telling you, there will be two or three people standing by their side to say, man, we're here. We got you back. We're here to help you. I'm telling you, if a man messes up or his wife messes up, man, that spouse, that opposite, or to take, say, man, I'm telling you, that's tough. What can I do to help you? Not you sorry sucker. I can't believe you've done that. Church, what would it be if we could all just help each other? I mean, think about that.
Amen.
Think about if we were all here according to Ephesians chapter 6. Think about Ephesians chapter 6. That's dealing with us. Put on the whole armor of God. Let me tell you something. There may be a day, Eric, where I may not have a garment on. I may be a little short on faith, but your faith might be increased. And if you'll stand with me, I can operate off of that. You'll strengthen me right there. We're there to help you. Iron sharpeneth iron. We're here to help each other. Man, I'm telling you, we were to be able to do that.
And I tell you what you can do with a new heart, you'll want to.
Right.
When God puts a new heart in you, you'll want to be a help. You'll want to be a blessing. You won't sit around, well, they should have done this. Well, they should have. Yes, and so should we. We made 10,000 mistakes. But I'm glad, thank God, I had some brethren to stand by me.
Amen.
I'm glad every once in a while I old brother Church, he'll send me a text or give me a phone call. And brother John, he'll send me a text or give me a phone call. And brother Tim will give me a phone call or shoot me a text. Or I tell you, man, it's good to know that you got some brethren around you that's praying.
Amen.
Amen. Every once in a while, instead of me, I just stagger along. And one of them old brethren will pick up that phone and say, man, I love you. I'm praying for you. What a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessing to know people's got you back. Boy, I'm just trying to tell you, church, we need each other. I don't know if you realize it, but I need you. I need the people in this congregation. I need you. I'm a needy preacher, baby girl. I'm a needy preacher. I need this people. You hear me? Help me hold myself. You help me hold me accountable and everything. Let me hurry. John 10:10 says this. The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I come that you might have life, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus just wants to take the mess the devil has made out of our life and turn it around for his glory and his honor. How many times have I seen the devil try to ruin people's lives and God take what's left and turn that thing around?
Amen.
I've seen people one by one, Brother Church, and I'm only 51 years old. But I've seen folks for years that are happy and pure and excited. You take these little old girls. I went to that birthday party yesterday, and it nothing joys my heart anymore than to see them little old kids just be kids. I love to see kids be kids. I don't like to see kids get whippings. I talk about whippings. I don't like to see all that. It just breaks my heart to see a kid get a whipping. Didn't break my heart to beat my own, but it breaks my heart to see these other kids get beat. Yes, it did. It tore me up. I'd go in that room and cry like a little baby. Beg God to teach me how to be a dad. Teach me how to discipline my children. And God, just don't let a prison guard beat them one day. God, please. Don't want no prison guard beating on my boys. Right. Now Zach's got a wife that beats him. I know it's true because every time Gracie gets mad, she says, I'm going to throw something at you. I'm like, Zach, don't do that. But that comes from somewhere. I'm going to throw something at you, and I say, I'll throw it back. She threw her shoe at me the other day, and I aimed right between her eyes. Got it. Teach you to throw something at me, little three-year-old girl. I ain't never lost a fight to a three-year-old girl. Brother Church, I love to see them. Boy, they run in now. Listen to me, Church. I know that I'm boring, but please hang on for a minute. I see them little kids, man, all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed running around. Boy, they having fun. They doing kid things. And man, they excited. And life is pure and innocent and wholesome. And then one day, all of a sudden, they come in. Sin. They lose it. I've seen them lose that purity and lose that innocence. I've seen them lose things to this world and lose that childliness, that joy, that excitement, that fun in life. And I've seen them one by one, Brother Church, all my life. I've watched people, and I don't know why God's given me a special sight to be able to see. Somehow, and I might sound weird, but somehow God's let me see down the road in a lot of kids' futures. And see what that kid was going to do and be and stuff like that. That might seem weird to you, but I'm just telling you what I've been able to do and been pretty right about it by the grace of God. It's just God. Brother Church, it's almost like, and I can remember growing up, we would take hogs to the slaughterhouse. And I can remember they'd march them hogs in there single file. And the slaughterhouse that I can remember over here, not too far from here, they would hook a chain around their leg, and it was on a big old belt. I mean, it was on a big old track, and it would come down, and that chain, they would hook that chain to that hog's leg, and that chain wouldn't stop.
and it, then it would go up. I mean, it was like a train track in there, and it would snatch that hog off all fours. And that hog would be hanging upside down, and the first thing they'd do is there was a butcher standing up there on top of that rack. Well, that thing went up, there's a butcher up there with a sharp knife, and there was a blood pit underneath him, and that hog would come by, and he'd slice that throat. And that blood would squish in him, the hog, and it'd start squealing. Next thing, that thing would keep going, and there was a scald box over there where that water was boiling, and they would, I mean, to the point to where they'd drop that hog in it, and it would get the hair off, singe all the hair off that hog. And they would take that thing and just plunge it into that scalding hot scald box. And burn all the hair off of them pigs come out of that scald box squealing. Whee! Still squealing. Then they would take and throw them in this machine. Never stop. That thing would drop them off in this machine. And it was like one of them old-fashioned lawnmowers. This spun where you had to push in it, the real mowers. And that thing would spin that hog around. And what hair didn't get off in the scald box, that thing would shave off. By the time they got out of there, they didn't care if they were squealing or not. They were prepared to be skinned, gutted, and put on your plate. Brother Church, it sounds about half crazy, but I've seen young person after young person after young person led to that slaughterhouse and snatched up by the cares of this world, by their flesh, and by the devil. And I've seen the devil cut their throat. I've seen him drop them in the scald boxes. I've seen him skin their stinking hide. And I've seen him eat their stinking lunch. And I've seen the smiles go off their face. I've seen the innocence leave. I've seen the fun. I've seen the joy of life leave their bodies. Wow. What in the name of God is out there? Dear God, help us to understand. Man, I want to be able to help somebody. I want to be able to reach out. I want to see that heart transplant. I want to see people come to know Jesus. I want to listen, that's what the devil does. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Jesus wants to restore all that the devil has taken. I said this the other week, and I'm going to say it again. Everything the devil gave up, everything the devil gave up when God kicked his sorry carcass out of heaven, God wants to give that and put that into your life. Everything that he was going to set the devil up, the devil got stripped from it. God wants to take that and put that in your life, in your future, in your heart, in your soul. And he wants to give you the best possible. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And boy, I'm telling you, it's an abundant life. Nothing like it. Watch them young people. Led to that slaughter year in and year out. I've had to watch people as they've entered abusive relationships. I've seen homes ripped apart. I've seen moms and dads and children literally despise each other. Isn't that sad? You think that's God? Man, God wants the home to be the closest thing to heaven there is. That's what homes ought to be. If it's not that, it's not what God designed to be. God designed that home to be the closest thing to heaven. That's our little piece of heaven on earth. I mean, it's set up, man. God set that thing up. And I've seen homes come to where the mama hates the daddy and the daddy hates the mama and the children hate the parents. What a sad thing. I've seen God, Brother Church, walk in a home like that. I've seen God walk in them homes and turn them homes back around and make that woman and that man fall in love again. And them kids look up and honor their mamas and daddies for the first time in their life. I've seen God take and restore them homes and them relationships. And my name, nothing in this world. Thank God what God can do. Wonderful things God can do. Brother Church is sitting here in a wheelchair. And I tested him this morning. Just did. I said, I know he's not healthy. I know that he's... You get in the condition he's in and it's probably easy to feel bad. To say the least. I've had issues, Brother Church, for 6 and 7 days. I've had issues for 6 or 7 days where I couldn't go to the bathroom. Brother, I can't imagine some of the stuff you must go through. And that man rolls up there, and I ain't here to toot his horn. He's sorry as the devil, mean as a snake.
His wife said, amen. First time she smiled all day.
She bearing witness, Brother Church. Woo!
Miss Church, can I get a witness? I've been wanting to say that.
Hey, be careful. They call us Pentecostal.
Brother Church rolls up in here in that wheelchair. I mean, he's in a wheelchair. He's got all kind of health problems. Brother Church, how you doing? Glory to God. That's what comes out of his mouth. I said, Brother Church, how you doing? Glory to God. First thing out of his mouth this morning, glory to God. I see him come around that corner right there. I don't know how many times he's come to this church, but I've seen him come around that corner many times. And boy, he sees you and he's like, glory to God. Ain't God good? You say, what is it? That's that sprain in his step, friend. He's in a wheelchair and God's been put a sprain in his step. It ain't about this. It's about this.
Amen. I'm talking about when you could complain, when there's some real problems in your life, when there's some health issues, when you have to have your wife to help you get your wheelchair out of your car just so you can get in it and roll in a plate, and you walk in and you roll in and you smile at people and say, glory to God. That's a new heart, friend. That's what God will do for you.
Good.
I like that.
Yeah.
Instead, there's some of us that's so healthy, it's pathetic. We look good, we feel good, our bank account's full. Don't know nothing about no glory to God, Zach.
Yeah.
Missing it. And God wants to change that. God wants to fix that. Man, he wants to give us that spring. He wants us to have that joy and that peace and that fellowship and that walk. Well, that relationship with his son. Well, I'm going to quit. I'm going to read you some verses and shut up. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, I did, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's me, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that was me, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, I sure did, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, I sure did, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And y'all wonder why I'm so crazy. Hey, God reminds me of where he brought me from. But God, who is rich in mercy for his... See, my family didn't count on that. Mama, that boy, you know how many times you had to come pick me up? I had to hear my aunt go, he ain't never going to amount to nothing. You need to send that boy to Jackson Training School. She didn't know nothing about but God, who is rich in mercy.
Yeah.
Why didn't you look at my mom and say, that boy needs God? Barbara, you better get that boy to God or he don't stand a Chinaman's chance in hell.
Man.
You better get that boy underneath that Bible preaching, Barbara. No, you better get that boy down there to Jackson. Let me tell you something. I'd have drove Jackson from the school crazy. You ought to cut every magnet they had out of the shower curtains. See him in a Jackson training school. I've been by that place down there. I'd have wore their backsides out, friend. I needed God. You hear me?
Hey.
I'd have said, first off, Michael, who's the biggest and baddest and meanest cat up in here? And they'd have said, him. And I said, which word's your shower curtain? Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together in Christ Jesus. By grace ye are saved. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hey, man, I'm not on the highway to hell no more. I'm seated in heavenly places. That's a good God. I didn't deserve it, but he did. I didn't deserve to be here today, but he deserved to have somebody standing here proclaiming his word today. He deserved an old loudmouth backwoods nobody. Thank God that wasn't headed nowhere good. Thank God to stand up and proclaim his truth. He deserved it. He deserves more. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God cares for you. God cares for you. How many of y'all got your text a while ago? I sent you a text. How many of you got your text? Huh? Michael got it. Michael, you going to sing it? Huh? That's a good one, son. That's a good... Lord, help Michael quit lying. Zach, come. Help me sing this song. We all got the words to it. No one ever cared for me like G. Was old Charles Weigel or Weagle?